Okay, we left off on the middle of everything. Let's go to Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes the Memra of Reish Lakish that Isa Sheni Loisha B'Yayin Shem V'Dvash and you made a Tchometz En Chayav Malchim Mutzah Koris. You're not Chayav Koris. So the Chachamim, the Amoraim didn't understand why not. So they thought that it must be based on the hekesh between chametz and matzah. How did we establish in the Mishnah that you can only be yotze matzah if the matzahs are made from the flour from the chameshes mini dogon? Because there's a hekesh between chametz and matzah. It's only acceptable as lechemoni, as matzah, if it's bole dechimut. So it's not bole dechimut, not. So they assume that that's what Rish Lakish is saying, the same hekesh ain't hekesh lamachzah that goes in both directions. So just like you can't be yotzei matzah unless it's bole dechimutz, so you're not chayiv koris on chometz unless it would have been theoretically kosher for matzah if you would have baked it earlier. If you would not have allowed it to become chometz, you would have baked it earlier, it would have been kosher for matzah. But if it's isa sheni losha b'yayin shem and advash, then it's matzah ashira. You learn that from the pasuk lechem oni. Lechem oni means to the exclusion of matzah ashira. So what are the examples of matzah ashira? We say we had a few examples. So one was nilosha b'mei peiros, nilosha b'yayin shem and advash and cholov. Then another example of matzah ashira is cholut. That's the tesis on the bottom of lamed vav on the base, the bottom tesis. There's a stira between two gemaras. One gemara says that cholut means it's mevushel. I take a matzah mevushelus. So one Gemara says that it is lechem, but it's matzah shira, because when you cook it, it makes it very soft. And the other Gemara says that it's not called lechem at all. So we'll get to the tesis to explain. But sometimes matzah mevusheles is matzah shira. Then there's another example of matzah shira, ashisha. The Gemara says ashisha means if it's a Rashi learns. Ashisha and daf lamed vav in the base. The Rashi is five lines from the bottom. Luska gedola, gigantic, like a wedding cake, gigantic cake. How much is matzah shira? So we made a calculation. I forgot the volume of 72 beitzim or something like that. Echad mishisha bepor, echad mishisha beefa, echad mishisha beefa. You take 1/6 of an efa. How much is an efa? How many beitzim? So we said asiris haefa is mem gimel beitzim echemish beitzim. That's 43.2. Apparently, there are 432 beitzim in an eifah. So if you take 1/10 of that, as ha'omer, asiris eifah hu. In the midbar, everybody got an omer lagogoylus of the mon. And they were told that if they'll come to Eretz Yisrael and they'll eat and they'll need b'cholchem lechem ha'aretz, when they'll eat this amount of food in Eretz Yisrael, from tvur that grew in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't depend where it grew, it depends where you make the lisha. It's a mitzvah tlui baretz, but it doesn't depend, it's a strange din. Chal is a mitzvah tlui baretz min haTorah, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, chal is chutz lo'etz only with the Rabbanan, but the din doesn't depend where the tvur grew that you made the flour from, it depends where you're doing the lisha. So it doesn't look at all like a mitzvah tlei bar, but it's considered one of the mitzvahs of tlei barets. So there are 432 beitzim in an eifa. So 1/10 of that is mem gimel beitzim chamish beitzim. 43.2 is asiris eifa. That's isas midbar. That's chayv in chala. Less than that, there's not chayv chala. More than that, is chayv in chala. We mentioned that Rav Henkin used to be the big posek in New York before Rav Moshe came to America. So Rav Henkin wrote in his svarim that he thinks it's something between 3 and 5 pounds of flour. So he says if you mix 3 pounds of flour with water, mafish challah without a brocha. And if you mix 5 pounds of flour with water, then you mafish challah with a brocha. Sometimes even if you mix together 1/2 pound of flour and you bake cookies, then you mix another 1/2 pound of flour, you make cookies or cake or whatever, then you put everything in one container. That's a din in the Mishnah that we pass on like that, Tana in the Mishnah. Hasal mitzar from lechal. If you put it all in the same basket, afterwards baked. Afaroidim and us in the sal, hasal mitzar from lechal. Some Rishonim are of the opinion, hasal mitzar from lechal. If you put it in the basket and you have, and at the end, you have 3 pounds worth of flour, then you mafish challah without a bracha. If you have 5 pounds of flour that you baked all these cookies with, then it'll be mitzar from lachala, and you'll be mafish with a bracha. So some rishonim rav that pin and asal mitzar from lachala only applies if it's afaroidim and osim asal. If you scrape it out from the oven and you put it in the basket when it's still burning hot, you just finished the afia. We don't paskin like that. We even paskin even if you put it in the freezer, less than a shear. Then you bake some more, you put it in the same container in the freezer. Then you bake some more, you put it in the same container in the freezer. If everything is in the same sal, a sal mitzar from the challah. That's a shaila. What if the cookies that you baked on Sunday wrapped up in one bag, the cookies baked on Monday wrapped in a different bag, cookies baked on Tuesday, a different bag, all the three bags are in the sal. Is the sal mitzar from the challah only if they're not in separate containers, or even if each little bit, pochas mekashir, is in a separate container, that's a diun in achreinim. That's a machlokes in achreinim. So if you have, if an eifa is 432 beitzim, then shishis eifa is, I think, going to be, we divide it, I think it's going to be 72 beitzim. That's going to be a gigantic matzah. So because of this din, that Ashish, if the matzah is too big, it's possible, because it's called matzah shira, so the Ramah came up with a chumrah, Ramah quotes a chumrah, that the matzahs, in order to make sure people don't make the matzah so fat, so gigantic, like a wedding cake, so he says the matzahs have to be thinner than the thickness of an etzba. An etzba is a little less than an inch. According to the Chazon Ish, an etzba is an inch, and others say slightly less than an inch. That's a big difference between less than an inch in a gigantic wedding cake. So that's a chumrah that the Ramah has. The Sfardish and matzahs, they pour in more water, so they're not as crisp. They're not as brittle as the Ashkenazi matzahs. But if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, you see it's clear. It's not that the Ashkenazim have a mini bedavka. We use the brittle matzahs. You can use spongy, sfogi matzah also. The Sfardish and matzahs are like spongy. You can eat, some people can't chew the matzahs. They don't enjoy chewing matzahs. So you can use Sfardish matzahs. There's no meaning bedavka to have Ashkenazi matzahs. Ashkenazi can have Sfardish matzahs also, provided that it's a good hashgacha. It has to be kosher the Pesach. You have to have a reliable, extremely reliable person. So again, so there are different kinds of matzah shiras. One matzah shiras, if it's nilosh, we make peris. And according to the Rambam, only these dalad mashkim, yayin, shem, and dvash, and cholov. That's a peladik Rambam. Why should that be so? And then another matzah shira is mevusheles. Taisa says, sometimes it's not a shem lechem at all. Sometimes it is a shem lechem, but it's matzah shira. Another example is, if it's too gigantic, hashisha echem, mishisha be'efa. The volume of 72 beitzim. Then there was another gemara at the end of the Masechta, the top line on Kuf Tezayin and Aleph, if it's prusa. You have to have dafke prusa on Pesach night. And that was a machlok. Why? Because madaka shalani be prusa. The Navi Yishai, I think, calls upon the public, alafros l'roi v'lachmecha. The wealthy people, the poor people can't afford to buy bread in the bakery, or they can't afford to buy flour to make their own bread. So the Navi Yishai encourages the wealthy people, break off part of your bread and give it over to the poor people. That's called the prusa. Madakar Shalani be prusa. The wealthy man gives the ani. He's not going to give him a whole challah, give him the leftover. He has a gigantic challah that he ate, that he started eating, has leftover. So give the prusa to the ani. And tomorrow he'll start a new challah. He won't eat the old stale challah, that the hefer challah that's left over from yesterday. The wealthy man will start a new shlema tomorrow. The din that you say a motzi on a shlema, that's not only on Shabbos, that's on the weekdays also. Whenever there's a choice of saying hamotzi on a prusa or on a shlema, out of kavod habracha, the bracha should be recited on the shlema, not on the prusa. Unless you're saving the prusa for Shabbos. If it's a lo bo b'cheshbon, but if it's bo b'cheshbon, if you have the choice of either saying hamotzi over this or that, so it's preferable to say, always preferable, Shabbos and the weekdays, always preferable to say hamotzi on the shlema, not on the prusa. But on Pesach night, there has to be lechem oni as opposed to matzah shira. So that's one example of Matzah Shir, if it's a Shlema. So that's a big machloikis in Tosfos, two opinions in Tosfos. What does that mean? On Yontif, the Rishonim say, just like on Shabbos, you need Lechem Mishnah Zechel Amon, on Yontif, you also need Lechem Mishnah Zechel Amon, because the Gemara makes it clear, the first daf in Beitza, the Amon didn't fall down on Shabbos, that says in the Chumash, and the Amon didn't fall down on Yontif either. That's the Gemara, the first daf in Beitza. The Amon didn't fall down neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. So Lechem Mishnah, double portion, fell down on Erev Shabbos and on Erev Yontif. So that's why we should have Lechem Mishnah on Yontif. So if you need Lechem Mishnah, and then you need Pusa, so how does it work together? So the common practice is that you take three matzahs, and then you break one of the three, so you have two and a half. So you have Lechem Mishnah for the Sudas Yontif. You say Hamoitzi on two Shlemas. And then you say Alachilas Matzah on the Pusa. And then it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should eat two Kazesim. One kazais from the Shlema to be Yotze Sudas Yontif, one kazais from the Prutza to be Yotze the Mitzvah Matzah, the two different mitzvahs. And other Rishonim hold like the Rambam, and Vilna Gaon holds like the Rambam and the Rif. No. If you're going to have two and a half matzahs, so that's not Darkei Shalani B'Prusa. The only has a Prusa, he doesn't have Shlemas. That's quite an Ashiris. You have two and a half matzahs. That's Ashiris already. That's where the Rambam thinks that you need Lechem Mishnah on Yontif, but on Pesach night, you want to have Lechem Oni, Darkei Shalani B'Prusa. So instead of having two Shlemas, you should have one Shlema, one Prusa, one and a half matzahs. Instead of having two and a half, you should have one and a half matzahs. And that's called Madarkei Shalani B'Prusa. He doesn't have two Shlemas. That's L'chorah Machloikis. Are these two distinct mitzvahs and you need two different kazesim? Or is it, no, it's the same, it's identically same mitzvah. The mitzvah of Sudas Yontif is identical with the mitzvah of matzah. So since the din requires for the mitzvah of matzah, lechem oni, aprusa, so that's what's required for the lechem. You don't need lechem mishnah two shleimus in addition to the prusa. It's the same mitzvah. That's a big shaila. Are they the same mitzvah, two mitzvahs? Shulchan Aruch says you should have two kazaisim, one kazais from the shleima, for Sudas Yontif, but one kazais from the prusa for mitzvahs matzah. And Mishnah Berurah has a whole bir halacha. He says, why did the Mechaber quote such an awkward shita? He doesn't think we should pasken like that. Should be enough if you have one kazais. It's one mitzvah. It's the same mitzvah. That's the machlekes, what they need. Two and a half matzahs or one and a half matzah. That's exactly the machlekes of Rishonim. Are they two mitzvahs? Are they one mitzvah? So these are the four dinim of lechem oni. The matzah shira is no good. The practice is we have the Hagos Maimon. He has what we call the simonim of the Seder. Kadesh, Uchatz, Karpetz, Yachatz. Hagos Maimon on the bottom of the page of the Rambam. Hagos Maimon is not a commentary on the Rambam. The Magen Mishnah and the Kesed Mishnah and the Lechem Mishnah and Mishlam Melech are officially commentaries on the Rambam. And the Migdaloi is on the bottom. He always defends the Rambam from the Kashas of the Ravid. So these are commentaries on the Rambam. The Hagos Maimon at the bottom of the page totally has nothing to do with the Rambam. He ignores the Rambam. He just tells you what the Balei HaTosfos have to say on every topic. So he quotes from the basement Rosh and Shal Rashi. This was what the Balei HaTosfos came up with, the grandchildren of Rashi. Kadesh Uchatz Karpatz Yachatz. And then the Maharam Prague explains, why do you break Yachatz before you even start saying Manashtana? Why don't you, the Rama has Yachatz, when you're about to say Hamotzi, instead of taking two Shlemis, you take one and a half. You cut one of the Shlemis before you say Hamotzi, so you shouldn't have two Shlemis. You should have only one and a half Shlema. Why is our practice that we have Yachatz in the beginning before we even start the whole Magid? So the Marami Pragyan says, because we darshan from the word Lechem Oni, two different din. We darshan one din, Lechem She'onim Olav Dvarim Harbei. First, the Gemara quotes that Shmuel said that. Then they quote Tanya Rami Hochi. It's a Brisa. So the Brisa says it also. That's on the bottom of Kuf Tezvav on the base. Lech Mishonim Olav Harbei means you have to tell the whole CPTS Mitzrayim. This Manshev Yesh Matzar Munachas Lefanecho. And we also darshan from the word Lechem Oni that Matzah Shira is no good. So we put the two together and we say you have to have Lechem Shonim Olav Dvarim Harbei. It should be Lechem Oni at the time that you tell the CPTS Mitzrayim. Shouldn't just break the matzah, have only 2.5 or 1.5 at the time they say the bracha al achilas matzah. From the time that you oinim olav dor v'harbe, from the time that you begin to see Pitzias Mitzrayim, you should have matzah aniyah as opposed to matzah ashira. So that's the explanation of our practice, why we follow this sedarim, why we follow the simonim of the seder we have yachatz before we start the whole Pitzias Mitzrayim. Because you want to have lechem shonim olav dvarim harbe, should be the matzah aniyah as opposed to the matzah delechem oni, as opposed to the matzah ashira. So these are the four dinim of lechem oni. So Reish Lakish made a statement that if you have matzah sheni losha, you have chametz, bread, sheni losh, what did he say? The yain shem and the drash, and you eat it on pe. You let it rise. You let it sit for a long time, for hours and hours. You let it rise, and then you baked it. So if you eat it on Pesach, it won't be a chayv kor. So the Gemara thought, the Amoraim thought, it's probably because the hekesh goes in both directions. Just like it's only acceptable for matzah if it's bolid echimutz, then hu adinam, you want a chayv koris on chametz if it would have been acceptable for matzah if it wouldn't have. If you would not have let it sit for so long, if you would have baked it earlier, it would have been kosher for matzah. But this matzah shenilosha b'yayin shem edrash is possible because it's matzah shira. So therefore, you can't be chayv kori. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the correct reason why. There's no such thing. The hekesh only goes in one direction, not in the other direction. And Reish Lakish's din is a different reason because mei peris haymach mitzim. So that's a question. That's the top line on Lamed Hey Amad Aleph, Amad Beis, May Peris Hey Machmitzim. You learn an Amad later on Lamed Vav Amad Aleph. So the Gemara has a whole Machlokes Hatanoim regarding Lisha the May Peris on Pesach. Is it permissible? So the first Tana says, you're not allowed to be Lush. Where does the Gemara quote it? V'hatanya, ein losh anisa v'pesach b'yayin shem v'edvash. V'im losh b'diyevet, what do you do? Rabbi Gamliel omer tisarif miyad. Because there's no way to be careful that it shouldn't be bole dechimutz, because mei peris is memahe lahachmetz. Not only it's bole dechimutz, it's memahe lahachmetz. So you have to tisarif miyad. The Chachamim say, no, l'chatchile, you shouldn't be losh. They may perish. He may not be able to be Meshamer. But Yavid, you don't have to throw it out. But Yavid, you know, Nasa, you said, you're allowed to eat it. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with both of the first Tanaim, and he says, Shabbat, he was there once on Pesach. Maybe only because Rabbi Akiva was a Zoriz, okay? Maybe only for his reason, but he says, at least in certain circumstances, to be losh b'mei peris. Then the Gemara goes, the Brisa continues, even though the Tanakam, the first two Tanaim, the first Tana holds, ain loshin, first two Tanaim hold ain loshin, but mekat from lo, that you're allowed to do, just to shmir mei peris on top, when you're going to be losh, so then we're afraid it's going to be my lahachmans. But if I already made the shape of the matzah, with water, not with May Paris. And then I'm going to use May Paris to paint it on the surface, like the Shabbos Dikachalas. They take egg, they take the egg yolk, and they crack open the egg, and they have the liquid the egg yolk, and then they take a tiny little paintbrush, and they paint the egg on the surface of the challah. So that's called lekatef. So lekatef, you don't have to be concerned. The next time it says, afal pishen loshin mekatfim bo. And then the next Tana disagrees. No. Next Tana holds that just like you're not allowed to be losh be mei peris, you're not allowed to be mekatef be mei peris either. You shouldn't use it even mekatef. Okay. So these are the different opinions. So akol panim, the Brisa says that if you're losh be mei peris, not only is it machmitz, it's memahel hachmitz. How can you say over here? May Paris say machmitz. So Rashi asked the kasha lamed vav and aleph, and Rashi answers that when the Gemara said before, may peris hamachmitzim, means it can become chametz dog and gomer. Chimutz is a process that has a beginning and it has an end. That appears in the Mishnah Amem Ches Amid Beis, and the Mishnah uses terminology. It's not biblical terminology at all. The Mishnah says the beginning of the chimutz process is called Seor. Le'ralacha chametz, le'ralacha Seor. Seor and chametz are a different thing. Seor is the raw dough that you didn't bake, and we call that yeast. Now you draw. Now you combine store dry yeast, a packet of the microorganisms, but you can also buy in the store a bar of yeast that looks like a bar of butter. It looks like a bar of what do you call it? Margarine. So it's a bar of yeast, such a shape, a bar of yeast. And you can, when you mix the flour with the water, if you put in that bar of yeast, so it'll hasten the chimutz process. You won't have to wait hours and hours and hours. With the yeast, you'll only have to wait 4 hours. If you wouldn't put in yeast, you have to probably wait 15 hours till the microorganisms from the air, they're microscopic, till they'll bump into this, till they'll join into this dough. And then it'll rise. If you use yeast, then it only takes 4 hours to rise. If you don't use yeast, it takes a longer period of time. So the Tanaim say there's a double machlekes Rav Meir, Rav Yudah. The clear-cut machlekes in the Mishnah, Mem Ches Amud Beis, is machlekes Rav Meir, Rav Yudah. When is the beginning of the chimutz process? That's called Seor. When is the Gemara of the chimutz process? Then it's called Siduk. Then the Gemara says in Chulin, I think it was, either Chulin or Menaches, that there's another machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yudah, whether this din, that if you have the beginning of the chimutz process, then there's an isa chametz, is that a din d'oraisa? It's like a chotzi shir. You only chayv koreis if you have the shir shalom of chimutz. That's called siduk, when it has cracks on top. But if it's only, say, if it's only the beginning of the chimutz process, then there won't be any koreis. It's like a chotzi shir of chametz. So that's a second machlokes, whether that's a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan. You have just as a mashal, amad avadayma, there's a mishnah in Perek Aleph and Aholos, that hagoses, a person who's holding by dying, is called a goses. There's a shchid mira. Shchid mira means a person who's sick in bed and he can't get out of bed. He's not feeling well. So sometimes the shchid mira will die and sometimes he will survive. If he's a goses, then we assume rob goses him lemisa. Most of the time the goses will die. If it turns out that the goses doesn't die, that means that we misdiagnosed him, because the definition of a goses is given by the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos. In the first perek in Aholos, Aholos has all about Tumas Meis. So the Rambam writes that the goses is in a person in whom Tahalich, those of us that don't know Arabic, so we have to rely on the Hebrew translation and the Pirush HaMishnayos. So in the Hebrew translation, it says Tahalich HaMoves has set in. So the beginning of Tahalich HaMoves is called goses, and the Gemara of the Tahalich HaMoves is called Misa. It's not that it happens in a split second. Until now, he was alive, now he's dead. There's a process, and there's a beginning, and there's an end. So that's a shaila. When is, you have to, in order to know when is the beginning, when is a person called a goses, you have to know what is the gemara of the process, what's the definition of death. So if you know what the definition of the end of the process is, then you may be able to figure out what's the definition of the beginning of the process. What's an afkamina, what a goses is? The Mishnah says in the first perek in Aholos, a goses kechai l'chol devarav. He can take a neder, and he's mechuyev to pay the neder. He'll die, he'll probably die before he'll pay the neder. So his children will have to pay the neder, because nishtabnu hanachasim. So what's the relevance of a goses? So take, for example, there's a gemara in the end of Kiddushin, sounds like it says that a goses cannot make kinyonim. A goses is already has one leg in, one leg out, he's half dead and half alive. So Alpidin is Allah Barda, so he can't make a tziva habal to give a get, and he can't make any kinyonim. He can't make any kinyonim. What else? What about the dinim? There's a din, a person is a goses, it says in Shulchan Aruch. you're not allowed to, a lot of times a person, as he's about to die, doesn't realize he's laying on a bed, and he has his arms are off the bed, his leg is off the bed. So the relatives are standing by, waiting for the relative to die, an older person ready to die, and they want to move him on the bed. He shouldn't fall off. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on Gemara, you're not allowed to, gosis say no gimbo, you're not allowed to touch the gosis, because doctors and nurses, we assume, will know what they're doing. So if they'll move the gosis, we assume they're probably not going to cause him to die. But the layman may not realize what he's doing. So a layman shouldn't touch the gosis, even just to prevent him from falling off the bed, to pick his limbs up and move him back on the bed. We're afraid that he may hasten his death. And one who kills a gosis b'day shamayim, there's a gosis b'day adam and a gosis b'day shamayim. Gosis b'day adam means someone shot someone else and he's still alive, but he's holding by dying. And then someone else shoots him. So the din is that if you kill a gosis b'day adam, there's a machlokes hatanoim. We paskin that you're not chayiv misa, because shnayim shehargu. The first one who shot him, so he's going to die earlier than otherwise. So that's a gosis hargus. Hariges achai, that the first one who shot him is a retzach. Then the second one who shoots the goyseis is also doing retzicha, but you can't give two people the death penalty for killing one person. So they're both pata. They're both off the hook. That's because he's a goyseis b'diodim. Someone did an act of retzicha on him. But if you kill a goyseis b'dei shamayim, means a person is about to die from old age. His system is collapsing. All of the vital organs are collapsing. So if one kills the goyseis b'dei shamayim, you are nereg olav. The machlokes hatanaim at the end of the second parak Bava Kama is if you kill a goyseis b'dei odom, whether shnayim shehargu, whether they're both potter or the second one is chayv. So that's a question. When is the patient considered a goyseis that you say you're not allowed to handle him because you may hasten the death? Or let's say it says in the poskim, in the commentaries on the side of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch, if a person is already a gosis, there's no mitzvah to extend his life. The process of death has already begun on him. His vital organs are beginning to shut down. So there's no mitzvah. He's holding by the end already. So there's no mitzvah to extend his life. He's in the middle of dying. So let him die in peace. No mitzvah to extend life. That's what the... After the Chazon Ish passed away, so they published a collection of letters of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish had his own style Hebrew, very beautiful letters. Then, after the Stipler passed away, Stipler was the brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. He married a sister. Chazon Ish had a very big family, I think, 12 brothers and sisters or something like that, maybe more than 12. And all the brothers were Rabbanim, and all the sisters married Rabbanim. They were all outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, each one in a different style. So the Stipler was a brother-in-law, one of the brothers-in-law of the Chazon Ish. So after the Stipler passed away, so they also published a collection of letters. That's a rough Hebrew. That's not the same style as the Chazon Ish. But he has interesting letters. So one of the letters, they asked him about extending life. So he writes in the letter, when we were young children, it was ingrained in our minds that the Jewish position is that you always extend life. Then we got a little older and we learned in Dorim Daf Mem, where there's a long run, and we came to the realization that you don't always extend life, that sometimes there's no mitzvah to extend life. Then we got even older and we learned Yeridaya, where that run is quoted Lalacha, so sometimes you can even do things to hasten death, to outright hasten death that you're not allowed to do, the mercy killing, the euthanasia you're not allowed to do. But Hasara Samanea, you may do, because the Ran quotes the Gemara in the end of Ksubis. The Gemara has that Agadah is called Ashkafta de Rebbe, about the passing of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he had a sickness and he was suffering, he was in pain, and he was a Geises, and he would have died. But there was a blacksmith who lived in the neighborhood who kept on banging his hammer on something. He kept on making noise. Every time he made a big noise, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi perked up, and he lived on another couple of minutes. And then he banged, the blacksmith banged again and kept on banging. And Amsa de Bei Rebbe, Rebbe's maid, was a religious woman. So she sent a message. She sent one of the yeshiva students to go tell the blacksmith to please stop making noise and let Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi die in peace. So when they gave the message to the blacksmith and he stopped banging, he stopped making noise, so this hastened the death of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. But people, that's where Moshe Feinstein explains, you're not allowed to do practice euthanasia, bekumbi asay, the shevi al taseh. Active euthanasia is asa, passive euthanasia is mutter. So this is considered passive. Davish mechutz legufa, if I choke the person to death, that's mercy killing that you're not allowed to do. How do you know that you're not allowed to do that? How does everybody know that it's such a dove push you're not allowed to? So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to be fond of quoting the Sefer HaKsava HaKabbalah. Ksava HaKabbalah was a student of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Every so often he'll quote Rabbi Kiva Eger in his commentary. So it's a commentary on Chumash, Ksava HaKabbalah. He tries to show how the Torah Shebaal Peh understands the psukim in the Chumash. So Ksava HaKabbalah has on the pasuk, in the end of Parshas Noach, Shafech Tam Bodom Under Dom Yishafech Ki B'Tzelem Elkim Osor So Odom. What does it say? Miyad Ishochiv. I forgot the whole lesson. You have to look there in the end of Parshas Noach. If he kills somebody, so the person is Chay Misa Miyad Ishochiv. If a person kills his brother, usually Ochiv means we love each other. So why does a brother kill his brother? They're fighting with each other. Oh, the Yerusha, no. So the usage of the term Miyad Ishachiv implies that even if he loves him and he's doing mercy killing, he's killing him out of Rachmanis. He doesn't want his brother to suffer so long. So that's where Rabban Soloveitchik used to be fond of quoting that from the Ksava Kabbal. That's how we know that mercy killing is awesome. Yeah, but b'shev al tasa, you are allowed to. So what does it mean b'shev al tasa? Let's say a person is on a ventilator and you pull the plug. So that's considered dovam shemichutz legufa. So Moshe Feinstein says, no, the oxygen is keeping him alive. The ventilator is keeping him alive. If you pull a plug, so now he can't breathe, so you just killed him. That's ritzich b'kumbi asay. He dies because of a lack of oxygen, so you killed him. If the blacksmith is making noise, and the Amsa the Bay Rebbe sent a message, please ask him to stop making noise. So Rav Moshe Feinstein explains in his Tshuvas that people don't die because it's quiet. Now it's quiet, no one's talking, no one's dying. People die because they have a sickness. But if someone's making noise, so that keeps on perking him up and keeps on extending his life. So if you stop making noise, then Mamela, he will die from the sickness that he has. Not that he's going to die because it's quiet, but if you pull the plug, then he dies because he can't breathe. So you killed him. You just choked him to death. He's only breathing because he's on the ventilator. If you pull the plug, so you kill him. So that's ritzicha b'kumbi. I say that's not passive euthanasia. That's active euthanasia. That you're not allowed to do. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that once the person is already a goses, and that means the way the Rambam gave the definition in Perek Aleph and Pirush HaMishnayos on Aholus, so the Rambam in the Hebrew translation says, Talich HaMavis has already set in. The process of death already began. So then there's no mitzvah to extend his life. If the person is already a goses, no mitzvah to extend his life. So that's the question. What exactly is the definition of a goses? When do you say Talich HaMavis has begun? So they asked the same shayla to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and to others. And they said, the same thing, we don't know. I think Ramosh's thing of Shlomo Zalman writes, Shachachnu. We have lost our tradition. What's the definition of a goses? So Ramosh said, we don't know. Same thing. We don't know exactly what a goses is. So that's a serious question. So just like there's the beginning of Talich HaMavis and there's a Gemar of Talich HaMavis, so too there's a beginning of the Chimutz process that's called Seor. That's the Mishnei Ekibu, Amem Ches Amabes. And Siduk is the Gemara of the process. So what's the din? So we call that Chametz Nuksha. The beginning of the Chametz process is called Chametz Nuksha. It's an incomplete Chametz. It didn't get to the Gemara. That's how Rashi wrote earlier in the first parak. The Gemara talks about Chametz made from Chita Kur Denaisa. So Rashi says, where is Kur Denaisa? That's Hare Ararot. Hare Ararot is in Turkey. That's where the Teva landed. After the Malbol was over, it landed on Hare Ararot. So Rashi writes that in that area, in Kur Denaisa, the chitim are not the same, are not normal chitim. So even though you mix it with, you make flour out of it, you mix it with water, it's not going to get a gemar chimutz process. It'll only be a chametz nuksha, because it's chitim koshim. It's not going to turn into, it'll have the tchilas hachimutz process, but it won't have the gemar hachimutz process. So that's the shaila, whether tchilas hachimutz, what the Mishnah calls seyor, is that a, that was a machlag, the Gemara said in Chulin, that is a machlag zamei Reb Yudah. Whether the Issa to eat that on Pesach is an Issa deraisa, an Issa derabanan. Even if it's an Issa deraisa, it's like a chotzi shir of chimot, so there won't be any chorus on it. Even if it's deraisa, yeah. That's a shaila. If you have chometz nuksha, let's say tchilas hachimot's process, you have chometz nuksha, so if you hold that it's an Issa deraisa, was it nisrabe that tchilas hachimot's process is dina kigmar hachimot's l'chol dinei chometz? So it would be, you would say there's Balyura by Motze, and you would say that, just like an Erev Pesach, Eftach HaTzoyis, you're not allowed to eat Chometz, you're not allowed to eat Chometz Nuksha, and Erev Pesach, Eftach HaTzoyis. And just like there's a din in the Korban Mincha, Lo Seyof HaChometz, as in Issa Deraisa, HaMachman says HaMincha is a loike. So too, if a person will make the mincha, chometz nuksha, tchilas hachimutz process, seyor, not siduk, seyor, that'll also be osir or not. So this is yodua, the first tesis in the Masechta has a machlokes. But Rashi learns, elu oivrim et pesach, the following people are oivram bal yorabai motzi. And the Mishnah mentions over there, chometz nuksha. So Rashi holds that this bal yorabai motzi and chometz nuksha. If you hold chometz nuksha is deraisa, so then there'll be Bal Yerah deraisa. If Chametz Nuksha is the Rabbanon, so the Bal Yerah will be the Rabbanon. Rabbi Natan disagrees with Rashi. There's the Rabbanon, it's also the Kaima. But it, even if you hold the Chametz Nuksha, Tchilas Hachimutz process is an Issa deraisa, it's only in this Rabbi that you're not allowed to eat it on Pesach. Not this Rabbi for all Hilchas Pesach. So there wouldn't be, Rabbi Natan holds, Elu Oivrim doesn't mean the following people are Oivrim Bal Yerah by Yimotze. Eilu Oivrim means Eilu Oivrim Ei Al HaShulchan. The following foods may not be eaten on Pesach, but there is no Bal Yerah deraisa. There wouldn't be any Sarasei of Tashbisim, because it's not real Chametz. It's only in this Rabbe, it's a Chotzi Shir of Chim, it's only in this Rabbe for Achila. It was never in this Rabbe for Erev Pesach, it was never in this Rabbe for Bal Yerah by Yimotze. And it should have been not Nisraba for Korban Mincha either. So that's what Tosfos asks. Why does the Gemara assume a davar pashut that Seir, whatever, whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rameh, whatever Seir is, Machlokes Rameh, Rabbi Yehuda, when is it called Seir, when is it called Siduk? Well, the Gemara assumes you're not allowed to be Machmas Amish a Mincha to make it Seir. So Tosfos asks, why not? You have no pasuk over there. According to Rashi, it's simple. Why? You have a pasuk is Marbe that Tchilas Hachimutz process has a din of chametz l'chol dinei chametz. It applies to Menoches and applies to Bal Yerah by Matzah and applies to Erev Pesach. All the dinim, the only exception to the rule, Koris. There's no Koris on the chametz nuksha, but l'chol dinei chametz has a din of chametz. So according to Rabbi Natan, Tosfos says it must be that there's a pasuk somewhere. He throws up his hand. He doesn't know where the pasuk is. Because otherwise, why did the Gemara assume such a double pashut that the Seyor is also an amincha? So it must be that they had an additional pasuk. Yeah. Yeah, we discussed kitnias a little bit. Yeah, what is the mocker of not eating kitnias on Pesach? The Ashkenazim don't eat kitnias on Pesach. What's an example of kitnias? Oires, if you have rice. So many Sfardim have the practice that they eat rice. Some of the Sfardim don't eat rice because sometimes the wheat field is next to the rice field. So sometimes the kernels of wheat will fly in the wind into the field where the rice is. And then when you'll have a sack full of rice, you won't realize that's 1% of the rice is kernels of grain. So you're going to cook the rice, and what are you going to be cooking in addition to the rice? You're cooking a little wheat in the water. The wheat is going to be boiled de chimot, so you're going to have a problem. So some of the Sfardim don't eat rice. Other kidneys, they will eat rice, they won't eat, or they'll only eat rice if they check it to make sure that there are no kernels of grain fell in. Dayan Grosnaz used to be the Dayan in London in the United Synagogues Besen. So the first tshuva in his collection of tshuvas, Lev Arya it's called, has very nice tshuvas. He learned by Rav Baruch Ber, he learned by the Chofetz Chaim. He was a Levi, he was a Yekid. There weren't so many Yekids who went to Eastern Europe to learn in the yeshiva. He was one of the few who went. So the Chofetz Chaim was mekar of him. And when he would duchen, when the Chofetz Chaim was a kohen, he would duchen, he would ask Dayan Grosnaz to wash his hands because he was a Levi. So he was very proud of that later in life, that he was the one who washed the hands of the Chofetz Chaim when he was a teenager, when he was learning in the yeshiva. And he has tshuvas where he bases the tshuvas on what he heard from Rav Baruch Ber, the modern style of tshuvas, not the old, a different style of tshuvas, but he analyzed the nature of the dinim. Different style of tshuva. So he has a tshuva. The first tshuva is about this. The United Synagogues gives hashgachas on matzah, so they baked the matzahs that year, and they found out that the rice field was next to the wheat field, so the wind blew some of the rice into the wheat field, and the din is a kitnius is bottled bereif, so that's not the problem. And they ground everything up, that's not a problem. But the shaila was, it was something like 10%. 10% of the flour that they used to make the matzahs was rice. So the shaila was whether the Bezdin of the United Synagogue, that they have to announce to the public, everybody should eat more than a kazayas. Everybody should eat 10% more, because 10% of the matzah is really not chameshes min yadoga. 10% of the matzah is rice. And rice is not acceptable for the matzah. So he discusses the shaila. When you have bitl b'raif, this is really a machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos in Zvachim. When you have bitl b'raif, let's say anisa becomes bitl b'raif. So the raif knocks off the property of the iser and it's left at its mutter. Does bitl b'raif cause the miut to take on the properties of the raif? Does it just cancel the properties of the miut? Let's say heter falls into isa. I have chopped up nevela meat, and then I have kosher meat, and everything all chopped up together, and the kosher meat is 20%. So do you say bitl b'raiv? Since the kosher meat is bottled b'raiv, it takes on the properties of the trefa meat. So if you'll eat a kazayas of the tarubis, you'll be loike, because the kosher meat took on the properties of the roiv, and it also became nevela. Or do you say, no, when you have bitl b'roiv, the miut does not take on the properties of the roiv. The roiv knocks off, the miut loses its identity in the conglomerate, but it doesn't take on a new identity of the issa. So that's a mefurish machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos. If you have bitl b'roiv, and you lead a kazayis, will you be loike or not? So I think Rashi says you will be loike, and Tosfos says not. So then there's a gigantic Ran in the end of Avodah Zarah, where the Ran has this machlokes harishanim. I think the Ran takes over the whole page there. There's no riff on that page, only Ran. So the Ran shows by pouring trefa wine, mixing with kosher wine. So the kosher wine is in less than 50%. Does the kosher wine take on the properties of the trefa wine? They say kama bottle that it should take on the properties of the trefa wine. So that's there's a sefer Minchas Kohen by one of the early Sfardim. The Prima Godim always quotes from the Minchas Kohen. So one part of the sefer I think is about Amir. The three parts to the Minchas Kohen. One part is about Tarubis Iser, Tam Ki Iker. One part is about Ben Hashmoshes, and one part is about Amir Eliakim. I think these are the three topics that he talks about. So in the section where he talks about Tam Ki Iker, Tarubis Iser, he raises this issue. When you have Bitl B'roiv, would you say only Iser is Bottle B'Heter, it loses its identity? Or you say even Heter is Bottle B'Iser, that it gains a new identity? The Ein Egyontov has a famous tshuva about that. If you have, let's say, strings that were made L'Shmo for Tzitzis, and then regular strings, so they get mixed up together, they can't identify which is which. They say that the bottle bereib, the regular plain strings that were not made lishma, the strings of the tzitzis have to be tvuyim lishma. You have to make them lishem tzitzis. So I have, let's say, five strings that were made lishma, and one string was not made lishma. And the one string gets bottle bereib, yavish be yavish, and I can't identify which is which. The Yisaydi can use any one of the strings he wants for the tzitzis because the miut is batel b'rayv, takes on the properties of the rayv. Well, let's say you have shmura matzah, then you have pshuta matzah. So you say in the pshuta matzah from all year long, let's say maybe the pshuta matzah is baked by goyim. They push a button, so it can't be considered lishma. And the shmura matzah lishma. And they look exactly the same. You can't tell the difference between them. So they get mixed in together. You have a taruvis. So do you say you can say bracha al achilas matzah because the miut of the matzahs that were not baked lishma becomes bottled b'rayv and takes on the properties of the rayv? Or do you say not? So that's the first truth in his in Dain Grosnas's sefer. He discusses that one year the wind caused some of the rice to fly into the field where the wheat was growing, and they made the matzahs with flour that had something like 85% or 90% wheat and 10% kidneys. 10%. So kidneys is bottle buried on the chishim. Yeah, so we're, well, so the Gemara says, you have to have shnei tavshilim. There's a Mishnah in the last parak and so on. You have to have shnei tavshilim. So Gemara finally comes to the maskana on the Kaira, on the Leila Seder. What is the Shnei Tavshin all about? So first the Gemara thought that it's a din, a takana, but the Rabbanin is Shnei Tavshin, even with Zman HaMikdash. Then the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion, no, Shnei Tavshin was introduced after the Churban by Yisheni, Echad Zechel Pesach, Echad Zechel HaChagigah. We don't have the two Karbanos. It used to be Chagigah Sabaos, and in order that the Pesach should be Nechal Al HaSova, first they ate meat from Chagigah Sabaos, and then everybody had a Kazayas of the Karban Pesach. So that's what the Shnei Tavshilin is all about. So the Gemara says, because one is Zechel Pesach, one is Zechel HaChagiga, so there was one opinion in the days of the Amorayim that they both have to be basar. Zechel Pesach, Zechel HaChagiga, both have to be a piece of flesh. The Gemara says, we don't pass like that. So that's the common practice is that one of them we have a hard-boiled egg, and the other one we use a fligel of a chicken. Neither is a piece of meat, the chicken and the egg. So the Gemara says, one of the Amorim, if you have two pieces of meat, that's a hida mitzvah, zechel pesach, zechel chagiga, two pieces of meat. Well, one of the Amorim said, even silka v'aroza is good. Silka is beets that was cooked, aroza is rice that was cooked. Even silka v'aroza. So then the Gemara says, one of the Talmidim, I think it was Rava maybe, one of the Talmidim of that Amora was mahader dafka to have silka v'aroza, even though it would have been more mehuder to have two pieces of meat, Zechel Pesach, Zechel Chagiga, hold on, afik me puma de Rav. Since his Rebbe gave that as a mashal, silka v'aroza, cooked beets and cooked rice, is also acceptable. So because he loved his Rebbe so much, he would be mahada dafka, that was his hida mitzvah. Hold on, afik me puma de Rav, since his Rebbe gave that as a mashal. Like by Lubavitcher Hasidim, they like to make a mikveh the way the Alter Rebbe wrote in the Kuntri Sachman at the end of Yeridei. He tells you, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote his own Shulchan Aruch, and at the end of Yeridei, he writes how to make a mikveh in one easy lesson. So he says, you make a bor, gabi bor, and you put a board in between. So that's what the Lubavitcher, they'll spend extra money to do it like that, because that's the mashal that the Rebbe gave. You can make one bor next to the other also, it's more expensive. So, but because the Rebbe gave that as a mashal, they love the Rebbe, so they do it like that. It's not momahuder. If you do it the way the Alter Rebbe wrote, it's not momahuder. But it's momahuder because they love the Rebbe, that's why. So this also. So the Gemara says, silka v'aroiza, but according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, oriz is bole de chimutz. So if you're going to cook shnei tapshilin, one tapshil is going to be beets, silka is beets, that's not a problem. And the other one is going to be oriz, oriz according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is a problem. So the Gemara says, shma mina, leis lechosh lehod Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. You see that we don't pass come like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. You don't have to worry that maybe the rice is bole de chimutz. We have not accepted his opinion and there's no problem. So the Balamor says, on that Gemara, that's in Perek, the last Perek, Perek Arvi Psochem. So the Balamor says, you see from this Gemara that there's no problem with eating kidneys. Because the Amoraim said you can have leis lechosh lehod Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We're not concerned about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion that oris is bole de chimutz, we don't paskin like him. So shame. Not like the minig. Apparently the minig by the Ashkenazim already existed in the days of the Baal Amor. So the Tesis on the bottom line on Mem Amid Beis quotes the Oruch that even in the days of the Gemara, there was a chashash that you shouldn't permit kidneys, adashim. That's the bottom line in the bottom Tosis. If you're going to have lentils, you're going to have bebelach cooked in water on Pesach. So the minig was, if the people running the kitchen are not so learned and not such big ereshamayim, so you shouldn't allow them to cook kidneys, because the next thing you know, if you'll allow them to cook kidneys on Pesach, next thing you know is that they'll cook oatmeal cereal. And oatmeal cereal, if they let it cook long enough, or wheatina or something like that, if you let it cook long enough, it'll become chametz. So the Gemara, you already have such a thing that there's a chashash. So when the Rambam writes that if you cook kidneys with water, there's no problem because it's not boli de chimutz. So in some editions of the Rambam, there is a hasagas arayvid, but the question is where the arayvid belongs. So the pashtus is that it's a misprint. So in some of the old editions, my father used to have at home, he had an irregular edition of the Rambam, had a Berlin edition. That's not the standard edition. So my father's Rambam had certain lines that the censor took out from the regular standard edition, and had this Hasagas arrived on the wrong place. And the Primogodim talks about this. The Primogodim must have used such an edition of the Rambam. So there's a Hasagas arrived there when the Rambam says, if you have kidneys cooked in water, it's no problem because it's not boli de chimutz. So the Rambam says, no, but it'll be chometz nuksha. So the way it sounds when Hasagas arrived, he's saying that kidneys cooked in water is not boli de chimutz, boli de sirchon, but it will become Tchilas HaChimutz process. There's Seor and there's Siduk. Seor is the Tchilas HaChimutz. It's just like Rashi wrote by Chita Kurdan Isa, that Chitim Koshim, so the Tchilas HaChimutz process it'll have, but it won't get a Gmar Chimutz. So some read the Ravid, that's what the Ravid was Masig about. Boshe Pshat is that the Ravid doesn't go on the Rambam by Kitnias, that the Ravid really goes on the Rambam by Mei Peris. That may pay say machmitzim, but he's saying like Rashi, but chilas achimutz it will have. So that's how Rashi answered the steer between the two Gemaras. The top line, Alam and Hamad Bey says, may pay say machmitzim, means it won't become chametz dag and gomer, but it can become chilas achimutz process. And Reish Lakish said on Laman Hamad Aleph, he says, Shani Losha beyond Shemir Advash, not chayv koritz. Why not chayv koritz? Because it's never going to become. It'll never come the day Gemar Chimutz. It'll become Tchilas HaChimutz. And that's what the Gemara says on Lamed Vav and Aleph, that the Tchilas HaChimutz process by May Peris, it'll be Nemar LaHachmetz. So according to Rashi, you shouldn't have egg matzahs on Pesach. So that's what the Ramah quotes that, but he says, L'chol HaMeskenim B'Mekel. What do you mekel if you have a real din? How are you mekel L'chol HaMeskenim? So the Rama himself wrote in the introduction to his Sefer Torah Schatos. The Shach quotes the Sefer Torah Schatos almost on every single page in Yerideya, in Chelek Aleph, because everything in the Rama on Yerideya is explained in the Torah Schatos. He wrote the Torah Schatos before. Everything on Shechita and Tarubis and Basam Chodav and Malicha, everything is explained there. So in the opening pages in the Torah Schatos, he explains why sometimes Ashkenazim are machmer on something, but b'mokim hefse meruba yemekel. What kind of a din is that? If it's asa, it's asa. How did it all of a sudden become mutam b'mokim hefse meruba? So the Ramah explains why. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say it over the name of his father. He said it over a little sharper than the way it says in the Ramah. The way he said it was like this. But basically, the Ramah says the same, but it's not as sharp. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, when you have a machlekes, let's say over here, Rashi and Tosfos, so we really don't paskin like Rashi, that May Peris alone is going to be Memaila Achmetz. We really don't paskin. We really paskin like Tosfos, that May Peris alone is not a problem. It's only May Peris with water. Then it's going to be Memaila Achmetz. But May Peris alone is not going to be maybe the Rechimetz at all. But out of respect for Rashi, so we're Machmer. But it's not that we're Machmer Hilchas Chamim. Machmer Kovet Talmid HaChamim. We don't want to violate Rashi Shita. But if it's going to be Amokim Hefsid Merubah, let's say L'cholim Adizkenim. Cholim Adizkenim are young children. They don't like to eat. A lot of times they don't enjoy eating crispy matzahs. They don't like that. So you have to give them egg matzahs. So if really Mikra Din Hilchas Chametz is Mutter, just out of respect for Rashi, we don't want to violate Shitas Rashi. But then if it's a Hefsid Merubah, so you're not Mechayiv to be Mechabed Rashi if it's a Hefsid Merubah, when there's a Hefsid Mon. So that's the explanation. That's whenever you have in Yeridei Chelikav, you have a lot of times. The Ramah is Machman a lot of things. And then he says, but B'mokam Hefsid Gadol, you make them. He's a Mikra Adin, it's really Mutam. The whole thing is only a chum out of respect for Rashba, out of respect for Rabbi Natan, out of respect for Rashi. So that's why it's muta l'cholam l'skenim. Yeah. So that's the Rabbi Natan disagrees with Rashi. He holds the answer to the contradiction between the two Gemaras is mei peris alone is not machmitzim at all. You can let it sit all day long and won't become chametz. But if you have water, then it will be bolid chametz. And then if you have mei peris with the water, then the Mei Peris with the water will be Memahir LaHachmitz. That's the Gemara Lamed Vav and Aleph. In Shulchan Aruch it says that if you're going to knead the dough in a room where the oven is, and the heat from the oven is coming out from the oven, and the whole room is going to be warmer than usual, it's going to be hotter than usual, then it's a concern, and it may be Memahir LaHachmitz. Like the Gemara says, there are different opinions, whether you're losh, are you allowed to be losh with Mei Peris or not? Rabbi Kida held this mutter lachatchil, at least for him, Zoris. First two Tanaim said, you're not allowed to. First Tanaim held even Mariyevid. Yisorif miyad. Okay, the different opinions. But this, they all agree. Vishavin, the Shein Loshin, how does the Gemara say? Vishavin, all the Tanaim agree. Shein Loshin, Saisha, be Poshrin. Why not? Because Poshrin, you're going to use lukewarm water or hot water, then it's going to be Mimahe Lahachman. Same thing if you use cold water. The Gemara says, that's why you use Maim Shalom. So it's not hot. So let's say you're going to use cold water, but then the room is hot because the oven is open and the heat from the oven comes into the room. That'll also be Mimahir LaHachmitz. So that's why in the matzah factories, they have a door in front of the oven so the heat doesn't come out. And in addition to the door, to prevent heat from coming out, they have a fan cooling off the rest of the room. So inside the oven is burning hot, probably 1,000 degree temperature, very, very hot. A regular oven only goes till 500 degrees. And the matzah oven goes back to, in the matzah factories, goes much higher, goes something like 1,000 degrees. That's why it gets baked in just seconds. If you leave it in too long, it's going to get burnt. It'll be burnt to a crisp. Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Going back to Diane Grossness's tshuva for a second. We pass in a Shulchan Aruch that a person could be Yotze Masa with Isas HaOrez, at least if there's a Kazayas of Masa Bukhtei Achilas Pras, maybe even if not. So if that din is true, so then how could it not be the case that if there's Rov Matza, then you could be Yotze with that Isa?
Yeah, that is a Mishnah and Chala. The Mishnah says, you only Chayv and Chala and the Chamesh is made a dog, and if you have Orez, we pass in, it's not Chayv and Chala, but if you have Orez, with Dagon, then we call it, Yerushalmi calls it Greira. Whenever the rice joins together with flour from wheat or from barley, then it has the properties of Chameshes Mine Dagon. The whole thing has the properties of Chameshes Mine Dagon. I don't know. That's a good question. I was wondering, as I was saying it over myself, I was wondering about that din. What happened to the din of Greira? That even the Oris is going to be bothered, the Chemitz in such a case, and it should be mitzvah for the Shia. I have to look on the Tshuva. I don't remember. Why wasn't the whole thing acceptable? Yeah. The Rambam had a strange Chiddush. The Rambam says it's only called Matzah Shira if it's these Dalad Mashkim, Yain Shem and Dvash and Cholav, that's all. It's a Pella. Why should it be so? The Aruch HaShulchan says nobody knows. Why should it only be the Dalad Mashkin? What's the significance of the Dalad Mashkin? The one that has a knockout comment is the Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer was a super genius. Has all of his tshuvas are Iluyish. That's you can't imitate an Iluy. Can't he? Had Talmidim. The Talmidim are not Iluyim. One of his Talmidim wrote his sefer on Bechoris. I think it's called Reishis Bikurim or something like that. It's imitation Eloi. It's not. Like some of the students tried to imitate Rabbi Soloveitchik's style of learning. You can't imitate it. Rabbi Soloveitchik was a genius. You have to have the genius, the insight, the havraka, the enlightenment. So the Avnei Nezer has like this. There is Machlekes Hatanoim, whether Losh Isa b'mei Peris is Chai Mechalo. How do we paskin la halacha? So in the days, the Erzarua writes, the Erzarua was a Talmud of the Rabbi Yudas Elion, the end of the Tkufa Bali Ateisus. We mentioned Maram Rutmerg was a Talmud of the Erzarua, and the Rosh and the Mordechai were Talmidim of the Maram Rutmerg. So the Erzarua writes over the following, that over the generations, this issue was brought to a vote, and the earlier generations of the Bali Ateisus, there was a machloikes, and they came to a psak, whether Losh Isa b'mei Peris is chai v'chala or not. And then over the years, it was forgotten what the psak was, so they had in the days of the later Bali Ateisus, they had it over again, same machloikes, Asher we paskin, and they had this machloikes that we paskin like the Tana, that Losh b'mei Peris is chai v'chala or not. So what's the issue? What's the issue? So we have a recommendation from the Maharam Rutmerg, who was a Talmud of the Ozarua. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this in a little more than 10 places. The Shulchan Aruch quotes an Eitzah from the Maharam Rutmerg to try to do mitzvahs in such a way that you satisfy all the opinions. For many generations, the Bali Ateisus followed their opinion, and the Sfardim followed their opinion. And then by the time you get to Shulchan Aruch, the Shach doesn't always paskin like the Ramah. It's not that the Shach was for the Ashkenazim and he always follows the Ashkenazi psak, and the Sfardim always follow the Sfardi psak. No. The Republicans can sometimes vote like the Democrats. The Democrats can sometimes, they don't always have to vote party line. The Ashkenazim don't always have to follow the Ashkenazim. So the Maharam Rutenberg, this is what the Mishkan Es Yankev has in his tshuva. Mishkan Es Yankev had a correspondence with Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius about all the Eruvin. In Lithuania, they weren't so keen about making Eruvin in all the cities. But Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius lived in Galicia. So every village had an Eruv in it. And Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius defends the practice, why it's okay to make Eruvin. And the Mishkan Es Yankev is not happy about it. So the Mishkan Es Yankev, in the middle of that tshuva, has a footnote in the middle. Mishkan Es Yankev is printed in Rashi script, except when he has a footnote that's printed in bold letters. So it's easy to find. You have two columns on the page, and all of a sudden you have bold block letters in the middle of all the Rashi script. So he has a footnote. He writes, this was a new theme in Psak Halacha that was introduced by the Hasidei Ashkenaz, and the Maram Rutmerg picked this up from the Hasidei Ashkenaz, that he tried to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions, to be yotzei de kol hashitas. So that's why, take for example, the second day Rosh Hashanah, when you say Kiddush at night on the second day Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh in the end of Rosh Hashanah has a machlekes harishanim, where they say Shechianu. So the Maram Rutmerg recommended you should have the Beged Chodesh or Pi Chodesh, so for sure it won't be a bracha levatol. The fact that we say Shechianu in between Bar Piagofen and drinking the wine, that's a hefsek. So it's only not a hefsek if it belongs in the Kiddush. So we really paskin that you do say Shechianu on the second day, even if you don't have a Begel Chodesh, even if you don't have a Pi Chodesh. And if he would have really held that it's a Sveik HaDin, we wouldn't have said the Shechianu at the end of the Kiddush, Yak Nahaz. We would have said the Shechianu either before you begin the Bar Piagofen or after you sip the wine, not in between. So the fact that we have the Shechianu is the Birchas Azman. Shechianu v'kamayin Azman Hazeh is called Zman. And the Yak Nahaz Simon, that's the Zion of Zman. So the fact that we say the Shechianu at the end of the Kiddush before we take a sip of the wine indicates that we really pass like that. But the Chashash Brocha Levatola is taken care of. Maybe it's a Chashash Hepsik. So for the Hepsik, we rely, that's how we pass. But the Chashash Brocha Levatola, so for that, the Maram Rutmerg recommended you should have a Begel Chodesh or Pi Chodesh to satisfy that opinion. So similarly over here, and this appears, Rabbi Kanefogel published an essay about this where he quotes over 10 places in Shulchan Aruch where they quote such an Eitzah from the Maram Rutmerg. So in Hilchas Chala, they quote also such an Eitzah. If you Losh Isa b'mei Peiris, you should always pour in a little bit of water that it would have been enough with that water, not just two drops of water. Would have been enough with that water to do the whole Lisha. He really didn't need the whole Mei Peiris. the water was enough to do the whole Isha. So then l'chol ha'deis yechayv v'chala. Dami hocha de mei peris. There was enough water to do the whole Isha. What is the machloik? Was bashteit the machloikas? What is the machloikas satanayim? What does it depend on? Whether losh be mei peris is chayv v'chala. So the Yerushalmi, we don't have any bavli ha'mishnah is chala. The Yerushalmi explains that the machloikas satanayim by chayv chala is identical with the machloikas satanayim in the following case. There's a din maga b'mektosa k'maga b'kulo. Let's say I'm an Adam Tomei and I touch a steak. So the steak is a big piece of flesh. I touch one end or I touch an apple. I touch one side of the apple. The apple was rinsed off with water and the steak was huchsha l'kabel tumah. So if an Adam Tomei touches it, it'll be m'kabel tumah. So how much is m'kabel tumah? Only the makam magoi or the whole thing. So if it's one unit, the apple is one apple. That's how it grows from the tree. The steak is one piece of meat. That's how it grows on the animal. So if you, that's a klal. Maga b'mitzosik and maga b'kul. If the Adam Tomei touches oichlim toherim at one end, so the whole thing is makabel tumah. But what happens if you have a loaf of bread? That's an artificial. Originally, I took all the kernels of the grain, I ground them up, and I made flour. So if I touch a speck of flour, only the speck of flour becomes tummy. The rest of the flour is not mechuba. It's not mechuba. But then if I make a loaf of bread out of it, so then you say, if I touch one end of the loaf of the bread, the whole loaf of bread becomes tummy. Let's say I have an Italian bread, a long, skinny piece of an Italian bread. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. What if it's nilosh b'mei peris? Is May Paris Mechaber or only the Zayin Mashkema Mechaber? What are the Zayin Mashkem? The Zayin Mashkem, the Rosh Yitzhak says Yad Shoch Adam. Those are the Zayin Mashkem that are recognized as Mashkem Lahachshe Lekabel Tume. It says in Chumash Chayuta Mayim Al Zera, if the Oichelim was Huchshe Lekabel Tume, if it was rinsed off with one of the Zayin Mashkem, then it's Mekabel Tume. If it wasn't rinsed off, then it's not Mekabel Tume. So that's a Machlekes Hatanayim, where the May Paris is Mechaber or not. So if it's Mechaber, then you say by tumah magim musosek magim bekula. Then you'll say that there's a chiyuv chala also, because the mei peris is mechaber. And if your mei peris is not mechaber, then there's no chiyuv chala, because there's only a chiyuv chala if you have one big isa together. Unless you're going to do tziruf sal at the end. If you have tziruf sal at the end, that's mechaber. That's mitzar of everything together. But if you're not going to have a tziruf sal, you're just going to losh the isa. So the lisha is only mitzarev if it's one of the Zayin Mashkin. So that's why. So the question is, how do we paskin? And Hilchos Chiyuv Chala, how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Chumer from the Maharam Rutenberg that you should always pour in an amount of water that it would have been sufficient to do the whole Isha without the Mei Peres. But what's the din bottom line? What is the din if you're going to be, if you're going to have an Isa, Shani Losha, be Mei Peris, you didn't use any water at all. How would we pass on Halacha L'Maisa? It's unclear what the Psak is Halacha L'Maisa and Rambam. It's very unclear. So that's what David Nezer thinks, that the Rambam holds that it's not Chai V'Chala. Even though it's not explicit, then the Rambam thinks, the Rambam apparently thinks that the Mei Peris is not Mitzaref. The only thing that's Mitzaref are the Zayin Mashkim. So what are the Zayin Mashkim? So, Yain Shem and Dvash and Cholov are four of the Zayin Mashkim. Then water and dew, tal. Water and tal is the same thing. They're both water. So that's what you make matzahs out of. And then the seventh one is dam. So you're not going to make matzah with dam. It'll be treif. If it's dam from an animal, it'll be an iser deraisa. If it's dam from a human being, it'll be an iser derabbanan. But the dam halchishtaim, dam from human beings, is only an isa de rabbanan. The Gemara calls it dam halchishtaim. People walk on 2 feet, animal walk on all 4 feet. So that's a Gemara, that dam halchishtaim is only isa de rabbanan. All the generations that the Christians used to accuse the Jews of killing Christian babies and using the human blood to mix into the matzahs, and the Jews always defend themselves. What are you talking about? We're not allowed to eat blood. It's an isa de raisa. It's not really true. Dam halchishtaim is only an isa derabbanan mishum marisayin. It's not an isa deraisa. Isa deraisa is only on dam of behema v'chai v'yoif. Behema, the dam from halchishtaim is only derabbanan mishum marisayin. Okay, so the Avnei Nezer thinks that he's guessing. He thinks the Rambam's opinion is that Mei Peris is not mitzaref. Meat peiros is not mitzareis, and it wouldn't be chayiv and chala. The nekuda where it's chayiv and chala is the Rishami says that's the shaila whether meat peiros is mitzareif or only the zayin mashkema mitzareif. So he thinks the Rama holds meat peiros are not mitzareif, and therefore he thinks it would not be chayiv and chala unless you do tziruf sal. Then the tzal will be hasal mitzareif and lechala. But if the lisha is mitzareif, then meat peiros is not. So the only things that are mitzaref are the zayin mashkim. So if you make matzah with water or dew, that's lechemoni. Okay, that's not a matzah shir. If you're going to make matzah with the four kinds of mashkim, yain, shem, and dvash, and cholov, so that's ashiris. That makes it matzah shira. Why? Because the mei peiros are mitzaref the flour together. It has a shir. Mem gimel beitzim chamish beitzim 43.2 beitzim. Of flour, and because the dalad mashkim, the yain shem and dvash and cholav are mitzareif, so they themselves are also mitzareif to the isa. So since they are mitzareif, so that's why it's called matzah shira. If you're going to use dam, so it's dam, you can't eat the matzah. So dam is taka mitzareif, but then the whole isa is going to be treif. You can't eat it. But if you're going to mix the isa, if you're going to have isis and elosha with eggs, or isis and eggs is not, or with the apple cider, that's what they always used to use, with egg matzah, apple cider and eggs. So then this is, mei peiros is not mitzaref, so because it's not mitzaref, the flour together, it's not mitzaref either. So it's considered moshal amalad avadam. Let's say I have shmura matzah, and I shmir on some jam, and I eat it on Pesach night. So that's not called matzah shira. The matzah biatzmusa is lechemoni. It's not ashiris. The ashiris was shmeared on later on. So even if the ashiris was there from before, I was lush the isa with mei peiros, with apple cider and with eggs, and I can taste the ashiris. That's not mitzareif because the mei peiros is not mitzareif the flour together. So since it's not mitzareif, so it's not mitzareif either. It's like the ashiris is minachutz. The ashiris is not an integral part of the lechem, so it's not called, it's not a violation of matzah ashir. It's called lechemoni. The matzah biasmusa doesn't have ashiris. The ashiris is minatzad. That's how he explained. That's an ingenious pshat. If it's correct, if it's true, then it's a genius, absolutely genius. And we spoke a little bit. What's the story with matzah shel ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim? If you use matzah shel ma'aser sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim, so it's treif. You're not lasuch alechem b'sharecha ma'aser digon chavisarasha v'tzarecha. You're not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim. We're talking about ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim. The farmer brings to Yerushalayim. He grinds it up. He makes flour and he makes matzahs and he eats it b'Yerushalayim. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. So Rabbi Kiva says nothing wrong, it's perfect. And Lamed Vav Hamed Aleph. And Rabbi Yosef Glili says it's no good because lechemoni, misha nechel baninus, yotza ma'aser sheni zeina nechel baninus. How do you know ma'aser sheni zeina nechel baninus? That's a pasuk that the farmer recites when he says vidui ma'isa. When is vidui ma'isa recited? Erev Pesach of the fourth year, Erev Pesach of the seventh year. There's a 3 year cycle. Then there's a 3 year cycle, then there's a break, Shemitah. So after the first 3 years, then you have up, the Torah gives you a half a year. The year ends at Tishrei, so you have from Tishrei till Erev Pesach, you have a little over 6.5 months to give away the Truma Gedolah, Ma'aser Rishon, Bikurim, to give everything away. Then he said, Bi'ayte HaKodesh Ben Abayis, Gam Nesatim La'Levi. That's called the Vidui Ma'aser. And the same thing, the 3 year unit after the first 3 years, then you have again another 3 years. So then the Torah gives you 6 months from Rosh Hashanah of Shnas HaShemitah till Erev Pesach of Shnas HaShemitah. You have 6.5 months to give away all the matanas and to take care of everything. So then you say Biyarte Hakodesh Min Habayis. You recite what the Mishnah calls Vidui Ma'aser. So the person in the Vidui Ma'aser says Lo Yachalti Bi'oni Mimenu. I did not consume the Ma'aser Sheni in the state of Aninus. So that's how you know that you're not permitted to eat ma'aser sheni in a state of aninus. Rabbi Yosef Glili holds adin. If you make matzah shel ma'aser sheni, You're not yotze because ein anecha baninus. What kind of a din is that? Ein anecha baninus. So we suggested maybe the pshat is the following. I think it's basha pshat that you need shmura matzah. Ushmartem es hamatzahs, it says. You need shmura matzah. The Chazal darshan is shmartem es hamitzvahs, but that's not what it said. That's an additional level of interpretation over and above the pshutu shamikra. Pshutu shamikra reads shmartem es hamatzahs. What does it mean, shmura matzah? In order to be out in the mitzvah, you need shmura matzah. So it means two things. Number one, shema mechimutz. And number two, it should be nasa lishma. You have to bake it lishma. Let's say I'm watching the way the nochri is making matzahs. So the Gemara says, Odom b'tzeka shal nochrim, Odom emala kresa mehen, b'bat shi'ocha kazayis matzah lo achreina. Where is that Gemara? I think that was on Mem Amid Aleph, no? Yeah, here it is. It's about 7-8 lines from the bottom of the Amid. Amar Avuna, b'tzeka shal nochrim, the Jew is watching the way the nochri is making the matzah. Everything was done properly. Adam amalek reisim mehem. You're permitted to eat all you want on Leil HaSeder, even though it wasn't made lishma. B'vat shi'och kezayis matzah b'achreina. You have to have a kezayis for the mitzvah that made lishma. The nochrim make it, it's not called lishma. The Gemara has a loshen and git nochri adaita denavshi kovit. The nochri can't create lishma. So the reason why Rab Chaim quotes in his sefer from Rab Simcha Zelig Rieger, he was the dayan in Brisk, the son of Rab Simcha Zelig Rieger. When I was a student in yeshiva in high school and in college, Rab Simcha Zelig's son used to teach Tanakh in the yeshiva. He himself learned in Slabodka. He should have stuck to. When he was younger, he was a classmate of Rab Lezer Shach. Rab Shach, I don't think learned in Slabodka. Shach learned in Slutsk. But when they were young children, they learned together. They were very friendly. So Rab Chaim, I think that's the only person that Rab Chaim quotes in the whole Sefer. He quotes the Dayan Rab Simcha Zelig was the Dayan that he picked. He had Rab Chaim was a Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin. Rab Simcha Zelig had learned in Volozhin. So he was the Dayan in Brisk. He quotes him that whoever is ain't a Betoris any given mitzvah cannot create Lashmo. It's a din. So let's say a woman is not mechuyev in tefillin because it's a pasuk. Women are potter from tefillin. There's a machlekes in the Gemara where the tefillin is a mitzvah. Says the shazman grama. Sometimes I'm told that Laila loves man tefillin. The Raman pasuk like that. Laila loves man tefillin. Shabbos of Yontav loves man tefillin. So then tefillin is a mitzvah. Says the shazman grama. But other time I'm told women are potter from tefillin even if it's not a zman grama. That's a pasuk, because tefillin is written right next to Talmud Torah and Kriya Shema. K'shatam olos al yedecha v'hoi v'tovis b'en enecha, l'maratam olos mez b'nechem. One pasuk after the other. So Talmud Torah is only men. B'nechem v'lo b'nasech, women are part of Talmud Torah. So women are part of tefillin, even if you hold that, it's not as man grama. Even if you hold that, it's a beferish gemara like that. So women are part of tefillin, so a woman cannot do lishmo, and a woman cannot write tefillin. Whoever is not mechuyev in a mitzvah cannot create lishma. The mazal is that women are mechuyev in matzah, even though it says zman grama is an exception to the rule. Matzah and kiddush and hakel, the whole, there are so many more mitzvahs that are exceptions to the rule, despite the fact that there's zman grama, the women are still mechuyev, even mitzvahs deraisa. Women are mechuyev, exceptions to the rule. So the mazal is that women are mechuyev in matzah, therefore they can create lishma. Because for many centuries, the women always used to bake the matzahs. They didn't have factories. Now all the matzahs are baked in the factories. Nobody bakes their own matzah. But years ago, the women were in charge of cooking all the food, so they were in charge of baking the matzahs for Pesach also. And they can create lishma because they're mechuyev in matzah. But a nochri who's not mechuyev in matzah, let's say a cotton, is only mechuyev in the rabbanon. Minatori is not mechuyev in matzah. So a cotton cannot create lishma. A cotton cannot bake the matzahs. He cannot do the nitzinus hamayim. He cannot do the lisha. Whatever is necessary for asiyas hamatzis, the cotton, whatever needs lishma, for asiyas hamatzis, cotton can do. So these are the two dinim involved in shmura matzah. You have to have shema mechimutz. That's how the Rambam defines it, shema mechimutz. You have to have asiyah lishma. So my impression is that's what Rabbi Yosef Glili says. It's a type of the sasri in the lishma. You want to take flour that you made from grain of maisa sheni. Maisa sheni is ein anecha baninas. then you want to use that flour to mix with water to make matzah for Pesach night. The nature of the mitzvah of matzah is so different from the nature of mitzvah of achilas ma'aser sheni. This is, has to be nechel baninus, and this is eino nechel baninus. So it's a chisorin in the making lishma. I'm going to take the flour that I ground up, the kernels of grain, chitim, sorm, whatever, I ground up the kernels of grain on ma'aser sheni, and I make flour out of it. I'm going to make matzah out of that. You can't superimpose the lishmo of matzah on top, but it already is ma'aser sheni. I was mafrish that I was kereshem. The farmer was kereshem. This is ma'aser sheni. You can't. They can't. They're incommensurate. They can't blend in together. You cannot superimpose the shame matzah on top of the shame ma'aser sheni because they're so different. That's what Rabbi Yosef Lili says when he gets to Bikurim. Also, matzah, he says, is in alecha baninus. Ma'aser sheni is in alecha baninus, as the pasuk says. I didn't eat the ma'aser sheni in the state of aninus. That's what the farmer says when he recites the vidui ma'aser in Erev Pesach, the fourth year, the seventh year. What's with bikurim? So bikurim is a hybrid of ma'aser sheni and truma. Bikurim is only nechel by kohanim. It doesn't have to be zichri kohuna. It's like truma. In fact, there's a mishnah in Me'ilah that in order for a zar to get malchus, in order for someone to get malchus for eating chazar, for eating basa b'cholov, or in the Bela Trefa, we paskin, you have to eat a kazais. One Tana, Reb Shimon holds, kol shehula malchus, the Mishnah in the end of Makkus, kol shehula malchus, if you eat a chatzi shir b'mezid, you chayiv malchus. So we don't paskin like that. Then there's one Tana who holds, he's surim mitzvah from the Zemzer, Reb Meir holds like that. We don't paskin like that. If you eat a half a kazais of chazar, because I said basa b'cholov, so Rav Meir would say, so you get malchus. So we don't paskin like that. It's only mitzdarf yachad if it's shurim shovim mishmasem shovim. So the Mishnah gives this example. I'm not a kohen, so I'm not allowed to eat truma, bikurim, chala, and maisa mena maisa. Also, maisa mena maisa is dino kitruma. Merach shalacham truma aschem. The truma maisa that the Levi gives to the Kohen, the farmer gives Maiser Rishon to the Levi, then the Levi is Mafresh Maiser, Mina Maiser. So the Chumash says, V'nechshol lachem Trumas Chem, the Trumas Maiser that the Levi gives to the Kohen is considered just like Hadog Men Agor Mecham Leah Men Ayekam. It has the exact same din like Truma Gedolah, like the Truma Gedolah that the farmer was Mafresh, 2% that the farmer is Mafresh. So when the Levi gets 10% of everything and he takes out 10% from 10%, that's 1% from the whole everything that grew, and he gives it to the Kohen, that's Mamashem Truma. So if the Tzar, I'm not a Kohen, I'm a Tzar, if I will eat 1/4 of a Kazais of Truma, 1/4 of a Kazais of Bikurim, 1/4 of a Kazais of Chalam, 1/4 of a Kazais of Maiser, Mela Maiser, all Turk de Achilos Pras of each other, I will be like it, because it's all Shem Echad, at Shirem Shavim, Mishmasem Shavim. It's all Shem Truma, it's all Shem Echad of Truma. We call it Maiser. We call it Trumas Maiser, but the Chumash calls it Truma. The Trumas Maiser is called Truma, and Bikurim is called Truma, and Chala is called Truma. It's Mamashem Echot. So Shmasem Shavim and Shurem Shavim. The Shia for everything is Kazais. So that's why it's Mitztarfim. So. Bikurim is a hybrid. It's a combination of truma plus ma'aser sheni. You can only eat it in Yerushalayim, but it can only be eaten by kohanim. You can only be eaten by kohanim. That's like truma. It can only be eaten in Yerushalayim like ma'aser sheni. So what's the din? Ma'aser sheni is also lo'oinen. Lo'echal to be oinim emenu. Truma is muta lo'oinenim. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. What's the din of bikurim? Is it taka hybrid of truma gedola and ma'aser sheni? Or is it basically a form of truma with a little ma'aser sheni thrown in, but it doesn't necessarily have all the dinim of ma'aser sheni? So that's what the Gemara points out. That's a machlokes hatanoim. On lamed vav amed beis, where the bikurim is muta la'oinen, the bikurim is also la'oinen. So the Tanur Rabbi Yosef Aglili, he needed a new pasuk. He already has a pasuk, lechem oni mishen lecha baninus. Lechem oni is written in chumash with an ayin, but Rabbi Yosef Aglili darshens it, he's kaveh l'din as if it were written with an aleph. Lechemoni with an aleph would have meant Misha Nechel Baninus. So Rabbi Yosef Glidi says, Mishnecha Baninus, that tells us that Maisusheni, Matzah Shemashusheni B'Yushalayim, you can't be Yotze the mitzvah, because since the Tvu is already Maisusheni, you can't superimpose a shame matzah on top of it, because the two mitzvahs of Achilas Matzah, Achilas Maisusheni, are so different. This is Necha Baninus, this ain't a Necha Baninus. But he doesn't say that to Pasel Matzah Shal Bikurim. Apparently, he thinks Bikurim is Nechal Baninus, and Einan is permitted to eat it. So, Matzah Shal Bikurim, he passes for a different reason. It says, you should eat Matzah, B'chol Moshe Sechem Tochlu Matzahs. So, Matzah is only, the nature of the mitzvah of Matzah is such, if it's Nechal B'chol HaMoshavis. But Bikurim is in a Nechal B'chol HaMoshavis. Bikurim you can eat outside of Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to eat it. So, that's how that's also the same thing. If you already have flour of Bikurim and you bring it to Yerushalayim, then you're going to bake it, l'shem matzah. You're going to want to superimpose the shame matzah's mitzvah on top of the shame Bikurim. So the two mitzvahs are incommensurate. They can't blend in together. They're so different. Bikurim is then a nechal b'chol Shabbos, and matzah is the nature of the mitzvah such that it is nechal b'chol Shabbos. So the two mitzvahs can't blend in together. So that, therefore, it's not lishma. It's not called shmura matzah lishma because it's a tarta de sasri in the two mitzvahs. Why did Rabbi Yosef Glili need a new pasuk by Maisa Sheni that is ain't a necha baninus? Why didn't he say Maisa Sheni is no good for the same reason that Bikurim is no good? Maisa Sheni is not nechal b'chol Moshe Sechem. So that's what the Gemara and the Tosfos explain on Lamed Vav and Beis. No, because Maisa Sheni has pidyon. Even though once you bring it to Yerushalayim, we say kol tuhu mechitzis. You can't be paid a Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim unless it's nitma. Maisa Sheni is usually nifta b'richuk mochem, kirchak mem chamokim kilosuchon seisi ki v'rechuch Hashem alokecha. What does it mean b'richuk mochem? If the person, the Gemara Makkos gives a mashal, the person is walking like a hobo and he has a stick over his shoulder, and he has a bag at the end of the stick, and the Maisa Sheni is in the bag. So he just passed over, he crossed over the border. The person entered Yerushalayim, Ir Atika, and the Maisa Sheni is one step, Siach, Chutz Yerushalayim. That's enough to be called Berichuk Mokum. So you can be paid in the Maisa Sheni Berichuk Mokum. I would never have thought so on my own. Pshuto Shel Mikra, I would have thought it's some distance. I would have thought maybe Tesvav Mil, like Pesach Sheni. If a person derech rechoika, I would have said he can only be paid in Maisa Sheni if it's chutz l'tesvav mil. But the Chazal had a tradition; it doesn't mean that. Psiach chutz Yerushalayim is called berichuk makom. So you can either be paid in Maisa Sheni berichuk makom, or even if it's ready in Yerushalayim, once it's in Yerushalayim, you can't be paid. Can you take it out of Yerushalayim and then be paid? So that's called kol tuhu mechitzas. So we pasken kol tuhu mechitzas is only made the rabbanim. Mechitza lechol is the raisa. That you can only eat Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim, that's Mechitza Lechol, Mechitzas of the Ir Atika, Yerushalayim, that's a Din Deraisa. But Mechitza Liklot, that you say, Kol Tuhu Mechitzas, once it was brought into Yerushalayim, you can't take it out, and even if you take it out, you can't be Paida. Mechitza Liklot is only the Rabban. Tosfos quotes that. So Minator, you're allowed to take it out and be Paida, but you can't be Paida because man is still in Yerushalayim, unless it's Nitma. If the Maisa Sheni is Nitma, then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Lozer. He darshan some of the pasuk kilo suchon seiso kilo ain seiso lachilas shenem avis masas me ispanav. So if the Maisa Sheni doesn't lend itself to eating because the Maisa Sheni was nitma, then you can be poided even in Yerushalayim. So that's a shaila that was raised by the Sefer Torah Zeroyim. Are these two different ways to be poided in Maisa Sheni? One is berichuk makom if the Maisa Sheni is still chutz Yerushalayim, and one is betume. If it's nitma, then you can be put even in Yerushalayim. Or maybe the two dinim are one and the same. Maybe the din is that whenever the Maisa Sheni doesn't lend itself to mitzvah sachila, the Maisa Sheni is not yet higia Yerushalayim, the chutz Yerushalayim, but the Maisa Sheni is nitma, so it doesn't lend itself. You're not allowed to eat lo bi'artem imena b'tomei. He's saying to be the Maisa, I didn't consume the Maisa Sheni in the state of tumah. So whether I'm Tommy or the Maisa Sheni is Tommy, Maisa Sheni is Tommy, you can't, not allowed to eat it. So maybe it's one and the same din. Maybe Pidyon Chutz L'Yerushalayim and Pidyon B'Yerushalayim, if the Maisa Sheni is Nitma, maybe it's one and the same din. Maybe that's how the Shavu Shabbam is. Whenever the Maisa Sheni lends itself to the mitzvah Sachila, then you can't be paid. But whenever it's either Berichuk Makam, it's Chutzli Yerushalayim. You can't be Mekayim the Mitzvah Chutzli Yerushalayim. Or even if it's in Yerushalayim, but it's Nitma, then again, if the Maaseh Sheni was Nitma, L'Biyata Memena B'Tomei, you're not allowed to consume it in a state of Tumah, whether I'm Tomei or the Maaseh Sheni is Tomei. So whenever the Maaseh Sheni is in a state that it doesn't lend itself to Pidyon, maybe then it's one din that it doesn't lend itself to the Mitzvah Sachila, then it lends itself to the din of Pidyon. So it could be, if one should assume, some of the boys looked up the Torah's Ramsad, he said he comes to the conclusion that the two different dinim. But if one should assume not so, one should assume that it's one and the same din, it could be that there'll be a third case. Now, what would the third example be? The Gemara learns out from Psukim, you can't eat Maaseh Sheni b'Yerushalayim b'zman hazeh, even if you would be Tohar. Why? And even if the Maaseh Sheni is Tohar, because you need HaMizbeach Banui. Because the Pasuk puts together, L'Tzuch Alechol b'Sharecha, Chutz l'Yerushalayim, and not allowed to eat Maaseh D'Gonecha b'Sirosha v'Yitzarecha Maaseh Sheni, B'choris B'korcha b'Tzarnecha. You can't eat B'chor B'Yimatora Chutz l'Yerushalayim. B'chor B'Yimatora is Kochim Kalim, and Kochim Kalim is Nechal B'chol Ho'ir. Kochim is only Nechal T'Zichri Kuhuna in the Azara, and Kochim Kalim is Nechal B'chol Ho'ir. So the Pasuk puts together eating. You're not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni Chutz l'Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to eat Kochim Kalim Chutz l'Yerushalayim. You have to eat them both in Yerushalayim. Now, the Gemara has another pasuk that you can't eat Kochim Kalim or Kochim unless there's a Mizbeach Banui. You have to have a Mizbeach that's kosher. If the Mizbeach is a little chipped and it's not Ravua, the Mizbeach has to be Ravua. Bizman Bai Sheni, the Ribua was started on the ground. It started off with 32 by 32 amas, and then it became smaller and smaller. Then it went up a little bit, then it became 30 by 30, then it became 28 by 28 on top. So it could be one amma by one amma also. It doesn't have to be such a gigantic mizbech. But if you don't have a mizbech banui at all, then you can't eat kochim kalim, and then you can't eat Maaseh Sheni. Even though Maaseh Sheni doesn't have to be brought into the Beis HaMikdash, but still you need a mizbech banui in the Beis HaMikdash in order to be able to be allowed to eat the Maaseh Sheni b'Yerushalayim. So b'zman hazeh, even if the Maaseh Sheni is lo nitma, we mentioned the Pasach Shulchan is a sefer on mitzvahs hatlois baris written by Rabbi Yisrael from Shklov, from the city Shklov. There's a street in Har Nof that's called they call it Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov. It's not Mishkalov. Rabbi Saw from the city Shklov. He was one of the original Olim, Teretz Yisrael, the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon and the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, both moved Teretz Yisrael because both the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov encouraged their Talmidim that they should move Teretz Yisrael. And when there'll be a heavy aliyah, this will hasten the Gula. This will hasten the coming of Moshiach. So Rabbi Saw, who was from the city Shklov, who learned by the Vilna Gaon, put out this. He moved to Eretz Yisrael, and in the early 1800s, together with a group of Talmidei Hagra, and he wrote the Sefer Pasach Shulchan, because in the Shulchan Aruch, he only have one siman, Shin Lamed Aleph, has all the mitzvahs, atliyas, barads there, all knocked off in one siman, trumas and maisvis and everything. So in the Pasach Shulchan, he elaborates, because it's Negir LaHalacha, so he has more details. So he quotes a Tshuvas HaRadvaz, who raises such a possibility. Maybe one would be able to be poide Maaseh Sheni, that's Tohor, be Yerushalayim, it's loy nitma, and it's be Yerushalayim. Why? Bizman hazeh. Because if there's no Mizbeach Banui, so the Maaseh Sheni doesn't lend itself to Achilu. So if you hold that it's one din, either Maaseh Sheni berichuk mokam psiachos chutz Yerushalayim, on a Maaseh Sheni shenitma b'Yerushalayim lend itself to pidyon. Why? Whenever the payers of the Maaseh Sheni don't lend themselves to the mitzvah of achilas Maaseh Sheni for one reason or another, then it lends itself to pidyon. So it should come out that b'zman hazeh you should always be able to be paid in Maaseh Sheni afilu b'Yerushalayim. So the Radvaz makes a distinction between Maaseh Sheni b'Yerushalayim and Heter Revai b'Yerushalayim. What's the difference? So the Pashtus is, there is a Tosfos in the first Perek in Beitzah where Tosfos assumes a Dovah Pashut. The Meforshim in the back of the Gemara pointed out that Tosfos is surprising. Tosfos holds that you only need a mizbech banui to eat ma'isusheni b'zman hazeh in Yerushalayim. But in order to eat netter ravai, you don't need a mizbech banui. There's no need to have a mizbech banui. Question is, why not? We usually assume that the dinim are identical. It's gzeir shava kodesh kodesh, connecting ma'isusheni with netter ravai. That's a pasuk towards the end of B'chukosai, one of the last psukim in B'chukosai. It goes on Ma'aseh Sheni. And then Netter Revai is also Kodesh Ilulam Lashem. It's also called Kodesh. So the pashtus is that the dinim should be exactly the same. The Tosfos is not exactly the same. So Tosfos, you only need a mizbech banui to eat ma'aseh sheni b'Yerushalayim. In order to eat netter ravai b'Yerushalayim, you don't need a mizbech banui. So then it should come out that I'm tomei, so I can't eat netter ravai. Today everybody's tomei. So you can't eat netter ravai b'zman hazeh b'Yerushalayim because you're tomei. But the ma'aseh sheni b'atzmuso does lend itself. If the Ma'aseh Sheni is not Tomei, does the Ma'aseh Sheni lend itself to Achila? Does the Netter Ravai lend itself to Achila? Forget about the fact, I'm Tomei, I can't eat it. But does the Ma'aseh Sheni lend itself to Achila? So it should really be a difference between Ma'aseh Sheni and Netter Ravai. Ma'aseh Sheni indeed on Mizbech Banui. So the Ma'aseh Sheni on its own, there is no Mizbech Bizman Hazeh. So I should say that since the Ma'aseh Sheni doesn't lend itself to the Mitzvah Achila, so therefore, it should lend itself to pidyon even in Yerushalayim, even if it's tahar. Masheni kein netter revai, according to that tesis in the first parak in Beitza, the netter revai doesn't need mizbech bonei. So true, everybody's tummy today, no one can eat the netter revai, but that's our problem. But the netter revai lends itself, the netter revai, if it's tahar, it lends itself to achila. So then I should say, since it does lend itself to the mitzvah achila theoretically, then should not lend itself to pidyon, should not be able to be poyded b'Yerushalayim as manazet. The problem was that the Tshuvas HaRadvaz that's quoted in the Pasal Shulchan writes just, he splits between Ma'aseh Sheni and Netter Ravai, but he writes in the other direction. He says that Ma'aseh Sheni, you would not be able to be poyded b'Zmanazet and Yerushalayim. Netter Ravai, you would be able to be poyded. If anything, if there's any distinction between the two, should have been in the reverse direction. Should have said that Ma'aseh Sheni can't eat, doesn't lend itself to achila b'zman hazeh because his name is bech banui. So since it doesn't lend itself to achila, so it should lend itself to pidyon. And that the ravai does lend itself theoretically, does lend itself to achila. We can't eat it because we're all tummy. That's our problem. But the ma'aseh sheni, but the net the ravai does lend itself to achila b'zman hazeh. If you hold out like that tesis in the first parak in Beitza, that you don't need mizbech banui. So then, since it does lend itself to achila, so therefore, it shouldn't lend itself to the pidyon. Yeah. Anyway, so again, so Rabbi Yosef Aglili has two psukim. One pasuk teaches him that you can't use matzah shell ma'aseh sheni because not nechal baninas. Hashem is not nechal baninas. Bikurim holds is nechal baninas, but it's ain't a nechal b'chol meshavas. So ain't a nechal b'chol meshavas is a tied to the sasri with the matzah. You can't superimpose the shame matzah lishma on top of Ma'aseh Sheni, on top of Bikurim, because the mitzvahs are so different. They're so different. The nature of the two mitzvahs, Achilas Matzah and Achilas Ma'aseh Sheni, Achilas Matzah and Achilas Bikurim, so different. So you can't superimpose the shame Matzah Lishma on top of the Bikurim. Why did he need two psukim? So he can't say, En Nechal Baninas on Bikurim. Apparently he thinks that Bikurim is Nechal Baninas. That's a Machlokes HaTanaim. Why doesn't he say that Ma'aseh Sheni is in an echel b'chol meshavas? So the Gemara said, the Gemara with the Tosfos on Lamed Vav, and they say why? Because since Ma'aseh Sheni theoretically could be nifde, Bikurim, he can't be poyder. If you mafish Bikurim, so it's chal, and there's no way to be poyder Bikurim. You can't undo Bikurim, but you can be poyder Ma'aseh Sheni. Since theoretically Ma'aseh Sheni shenitma lends itself to pidyon, so theoretically, Ma'aseh Sheni is called Nechal Banin. It is Nechal B'chol Meshavasecha. That's why Rabbi Yosef Aglili needed two different drushes. But they boil down to the same thing, that the mitzvah of Matzah and Ma'aseh Sheni, the two mitzvahs of Matzah and Bikurim, are incommensurate. They're so different, they can't be B'kvif Achas. So you can't superimpose a Shein Matzah on top of the Shein Ma'aseh Sheni, on top of the Shein Bikurim. Yeah. Then we'll have to continue tomorrow, Bulineta. Tomorrow is a Thursday schedule? Or
Mincha tomorrow is at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, so we should learn what do we usually do? 11:30. 11:30, yeah. We'll finish by 1. Okay. So Bulineta, tomorrow we'll have... So we'll start tomorrow. The pasuk in the Teichach says, "V'ofu asim hashem lach mechem etaner echod." So all the Tanoim assume, Tanoim and Rabbi Yechem Ishlokish, they all assume we learn out dinim from the Teichach also, even though the Chumash is not saying halacha there. Since HaKadosh Baruch expressed himself, "V'ofu asim hashem lach mechem etaner echod," so you learn out a halacha that is only called pas lechem if it's baked in a tanur. So how far does that go? What's the definition of a tanur, and what does it mean baked in the tanur, and when does it apply, when doesn't it apply? So, Belineta, tomorrow we'll start from that topic. 11:30, very good. Okay.